All right. Welcome to the Thursday, March 3rd, 2020 meeting of the Orange County Parks Commission. I'm your chair, John Coos, and we will go with the roll call.
Chair Coos?
Here.
Vice Chair Schauber?
Here.
Commissioner Ashland?
Here.
Commissioner Wellborn?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner McCusker? Commissioner Mueller?
Do it next time.
Jeff Quan.
All right, thanks. So we're moving on to the public participation portion of the meeting. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on items of public interest that are within the jurisdiction of the commission that are not a discussion calendar items, which would be item four. So if you're here for the conveyance of park parcel to City of Lake Forest item, wait for that. And if you're here to chime in on the large mammal exhibit, wait for that. Anything else, you come on up if you want to speak.
We have three requests.
Oh, we have three requests. Oh. Okay, here we go. I'll read the ones I can offer. John, should I try?
Come on, say it.
Squeeciarini?
Very good. Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
Set the thing going. As you can see, a lot of us are here on the pickleball group. We're trying to really do something good for the community. So it's not just our group, but however, where we play in Laguna Niguel, every week there's more and more people coming in and joining our group because we got something else. We were able to get new nets from your people, which were really great. We spent a lot of time making sure that nobody injures themselves or crosses over them or anything, so we keep them in good shape. It's really key, I think, not just for our group here, but there's more and more people that want to play pickleball. And it's becoming just a very great thing to meet people and have a good time. And all we're doing is asking, is there a place that we can, like with the tennis court, break them up so we can have a few more pickleball courts?
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
And you can come play too if you
have. Yes.
One of my friends is trying to get me to. All right, one glass back on. Steve Feinberg.
Okay, I come here tonight to address the untenable situation with the lack of sufficient pickleball play area at the Laguna Niguel Regional Park, which you've already heard from John. And we're asking if you consider increasing the pickleball courts by converting the tennis courts into pickleball courts. Right now we have, on a typical weekend, there could be 20, 30 people waiting to play pickleball, while there's like two people, maybe four people playing tennis, maybe zero people. So when you convert a tennis court into a pickleball court, 16 people can play pickleball on that one court. 16 people. So that, and everyone wins with the conversion because the tennis players still get to play tennis. Anyway, it's interesting. This morning, in the mail, I received the March edition of Orange Coast Magazine. And right on the front cover, it says, "Pickleball, sports explodes. Pickleball sport explodes in popularity." So, you know, it's becoming really, really popular. And in the opening of the article, it says, "Passion for pickleball. The pandemic increased the sport of popularity across Orange County." Then it talks about a lot of people in South Orange County going to Tustin, because in Tustin they converted a bunch of unused tennis courts into pickleball courts. And now it's really getting, you know, used. I gotta leave the last paragraph here. "People are so enthusiastic about pickleball that they reach out and get friends, family, and neighbors involved. That's why the sport has grown to it so fast. It's like a pyramid scheme, but it's all positive." Anyway, you can see times have changed. Pickleball is exploding in popularity. And since COVID started, everyone wants to get outside and play, and it's become just, you know, people want to play pickleball. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening to me, and hopefully you can take this up and approve our request.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Sophie, wear it?
Yes. Okay. Good evening. I may be the third but final person to speak about pickleball. And we say, happy people play pickleball. Anyway, my name is Sophie Ware. I'm a resident of Mission Viejo, and I am here to speak as an advocate for pickleball community of Orange County, and many of them are in attendance. So what we wanted to do is that, you know, from last month's meeting that we were here, we took to action and we talked about, you know, whom do we reach out to so that we can get some guidance and stuff. So we did reach out to our outreach team, connected with Pam's office, and they were really, really helpful giving us that guidance so that we can kind of follow up with what we need to do. We spoke to people in Lisa Bartlett's office, and of course we reach out to some of you here at this table, and so we really, really appreciate all the feedback to us, to our outreach team, of what we need to do so that we can get this approved. And that's, you know, kind of repeat, but this sport is taking by storm, and for Laguna Niguel Regional Park, it is so popular, not just for the sport itself, but it is a community where we get together, and as I said, happy people play pickleball. So what we want to do is that we're trying to continue to promote and have enough courts for, you know, not just the sport itself, but keep interaction for all the people that come to the park. And so therefore we are, you know, requesting that please do sooner than later, because daylight savings time is Sunday the 13th, and the park will, you know, stay open till 9 p.m. It can only get worse. And so what we're requesting is that please, we request your urgent cooperation for the approval and the implementation. And we request that for two tennis courts number 2 and 3, as you heard already, each court converts to 4 pickleball courts. So that means we can accommodate 16 people or 32 at any given time if we can all come play, while helping many pickleball players from waiting for their rotation, you know, a long time, and at a very, and I stress the word very, because it is overcrowded, limited court, and so it's not as fun. So therefore, I just want to hope that you guys would approve it and implement it ASAP, but before the 30th of April. And it is fast, easy, at the minimum cost. And so please help us as we are speaking for the community. And in conclusion, I am delivering petition 350 plus signatures to support this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, but does anybody else want to speak that didn't fill out a card? And just for the commission's, I think we know. Is that, raise your hand if you're a pickleballer. All right. So, thank you. You want to speak?
Sophie's been an excellent.
Come up to the lectern. Thank you, sir.
Sophie's been an excellent advocate.
Could you do me a favor and just state your name?
I'm Scott Magner.
Thank you.
I live in Laguna Niguel.
Thanks, Scott.
I work with.
Maybe you can spell out the slip at the end so we can get the name.
Yeah, we just need to record the name for the meeting. Sorry.
So I work with Barbara Norton and Sean Bankston at the park rangers at Laguna Niguel Regional Park. During the pandemic, I've helped get these to have different rules, completely different rules for the 4 courts that we had there. And we came up with a whole different set of rules that made everything a lot better. So we share the courts now. And I help do a lot of that. There are, where Sophie's playing, it's a temporary tennis court with 4, where 16 people can play. And at a minimum, we should be getting, you know, dual use of these other tennis courts. Half the time, there's like 2 people here and 60 or 70 people waiting to play just on the temporary court. 60 to 70 people. I got pictures, videos. It's crazy. And there's nobody sitting there playing tennis, or there's two people playing. And then there's four brand new pickleball courts, about 3 years old, that the city of Laguna Niguel paid for and donated that to the county. So we just appreciate anything that you guys can do to do that.
I think so.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Of them?
Of
what?
Staff.
Tom's going to do a direct report on this topic, so maybe that's a better time to engage in a dialogue. Is anybody else? Did you want to speak?
Yes, sir. Yeah. My name is Brent Weinstein, and actually I was involved in soccer my whole life. I was a national referee. I've repped everything from USA Soccer all the way down. I loved the sport. A year and a half ago, my wife came to me and said, you got to do this pickleball thing. What, that didn't even sound good. The name was like, what is that all about, right? But I can tell you this, you play it once and you're hooked. So you don't want to get involved, don't play it. If you play it, you're going to be there. But in sincerity, it's the largest growing sport in the United States today. That's a fact. USA Pickleball Association, which I'm a member of, also is the fastest and largest growing association in the United States. It's all correlated together. And the great thing is, everybody can play it. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, you can still get out there and do this game. So it's really for everybody. And by the way, tennis players make great converts to pickleball players, so that's a win. But there's a lot of people today that are really getting involved in the sport, and I would just recommend that you guys come to the decision to go forward, because it's hard waiting an hour to play, and sometimes we do. But we appreciate your time and attendance and certainly your consideration.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any last call. Okay, great. So, don't want any of you to leave because we appreciate you coming like you did like last time, just organically coming to the meetings. That's why we're here, right? And sometimes we react quickly, sometimes we don't react at all, sometimes it takes us longer to react. But, you know, this good situation, I talked to the department director after our last meeting, and we thought it'd be good to actually have a department update on pickleball. It's later in the agenda, but I'm going to move it to the front so you guys don't have to suffer through property conveyance stuff. And so I'm going to move that piece of the agenda up to the front. Just item 5A1.
Right.
Tom, go ahead and do some pickleball updates.
Absolutely. And apologies, I had had a chance to talk to some folks before the meeting started and kind of go over with them sort of the procedure that we would have in place to be able to speak with you. One of the things if you're unfamiliar with this particular process for the commission, the commissioners are not allowed to engage in discussions on things that aren't on the agenda. Unfortunately, one of the things, because John and I got together and said, well, we want to address this, but it's not a discussion item, so they're kind of limited to asking me questions when I provide this, so bear with us, you know. I think there are some good items that I want to present or some good thought processes that we have. It's up to you to decide if it's good for yourselves. One of the things I did want to address was, if nobody here today mentioned it, but there was an ask that came to the office to me that involved extending the hours of the park, right? So I just want everybody to hear me, like, we cannot extend the hours of the park, right? So it's not something that's there's various reasons that we can't do it. It could be staffing, it could be agreements we have with surrounding communities. It's definitely the consistency with the entire organization. So the good news is, like, or I guess in some case, I thought it was good news that we were extending the park hours to 9 o'clock. Evidently, I'm hearing that might not be good news. Okay, good. So it is good news. Okay, good. Then the other thing that I do want is, so just so you know, staff under Pam, who's heard you guys clearly and has been trying to engage, Pam Passo here is the deputy director over the operations side of the Parks Department. She has requested of her staff members down in the area to monitor the usage at the different, whether it be tennis or pickleball, and then report back. So we have set a time of a month to do it. I wish I could tell you that it's been been a couple weeks that we've been doing. We have a couple more weeks to go. We're going to evaluate the data of who's playing, when they're playing, and how much is going on out there. And then we'll take a look at the data, and then we'll react to what that says. We are. I do want you to hear that we've heard you. We've heard the commissioners. I know. We've had some of the commissioners reach out to me directly and say, "Hey, Tom, what are you going to do about this?" And we're open to the idea of doing what you're suggesting. Right. So this is not like we're very much into it. I would caution that the aggressive timeline that you've conveyed may not be what's within we can do. These gentlemen are very familiar with the budgeting cycle that we have, and I know you said it's a minimum expense, but even minimum expenses have to be budgeted for here. If you're willing to do that, I've got other projects that you can help. So anyways, the plan is we're going to evaluate it for a couple more weeks. We're going to take a look at the data, and then we're going to react in terms of if we can convert some of the courts. We do have to, as you mentioned, there's paint, there's equipment, there's things that we would have to procure. That, for us, unfortunately, goes back to the sometimes painfully slow. We have to put it in a budget, it has to get approved, and then we have to allocate it. So there's some things after, even if we decide it's the right thing to do, that may take us some time to get done. But I just wanted you all to know and report out that that's what we're looking at. That's where the process is right now. I know you guys can't react to me because we're not allowed to engage in a back and forth. But hopefully that helps answer your questions that you might have on what we're doing about it and if you're being burned.
Just one question.
Nope. Sorry, that can't happen. And I apologize because we talked about it before.
But they're very accessible throughout the week.
Absolutely.
Okay. Feel free to just show up at their office.
Yeah. John does. And unfortunately, that's what I was trying to explain about the procedure. So I'm very sorry.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Commissioners, do you have any questions of Tom? Go ahead.
Yeah.
David.
Is it right that 16 people can play at one time on the tennis court with pickleball, but only, I get it, two or four on a tennis court?
That's my understanding.
Is that your understanding?
Yeah.
That 16 people can...
Yes.
Well, and I think that is correct.
Yes.
No, we're not talking about
that. I know. I don't want to speak for a sport they do not play, but that is my understanding, yes.
Okay. And how long's a game?
15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Are they bringing wine?
There is no alcohol allowed in the park.
All right. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have questions to staff?
I would like to see a graphic of how 16 people can play pickleball on a single tennis court, because I've played pickleball on restriped tennis courts, and I'm not sure how you get 16 without killing one.
Okay. Well, what we can do is, and if I can, if we decide, and Pam is looking at the data, and we come back and we'll just let you know, I'll give another update in the director's report of like what our plan is going forward. And at that point, I think we can show you graphically how it would be.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have a graph.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sure Natalia here would be glad to whip that up, right? And I appreciate the request. What we would like to do is we'd like to make sure that people are informed of what our decision is, and then we'd like to provide an update. And what I would do is, I'm assuming that depending on how it goes, it may be sufficient just to put it in the director's update, and then we can proceed the same way that we did today. But that's at your pleasure.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Okay. All right, great. So, yes, sir?
Well, so just so, can I address just one more thing? So that would be it for this item. I know that if you have a burning desire to stay for the rest of the meeting, you're certainly welcome to. If not, maybe if you want to exit now so that we can continue with the rest of the meeting. Sorry.
I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I figure it's better if I throw people out than you. Yeah.
I'm already a bad guy to say no. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Moving back to the regular order of this agenda, we're going to go to the consent calendar, which consists solely of the minutes from February 3rd. Does anybody have any changes, or does someone have a motion? Motion moved by Mr. Wellborn. Second, Mr. Askel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Don't need a roll call for that, right?
No.
Approved.
I got approved.
All right, moving along. All right, now we go to the discussion items. Item number 4A. Does anyone want to speak on item 4A, which is a conveyance of park parcel to the city of Lake Forest for road improvements? Seeing none, do I have a staff report?
You sure do, Chair.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. Item 4A on your agenda is the conveyance of park parcels to the city of Lake Forest from the county. So I'll turn your attention to this map that we have up here. The parcels in question are this orange one here and the purple area here. Everything in green you'll see is basically county park property. This is for the City of Lake Forest Forest's road widening project. What they want to do is add an extra right turn lane there and change the angle of that turn so it's a little less steep and a little more safe. Of course, adding that extra lane is going to ease congestion, and the design is also supposed to add additional safety measures out in that area. Now this, although it's smack in the middle of the street, is a park parcel. It is one of those remnant park parcels that should have been annexed by the city back in the 1990s. We're just doing some cleanup here by transferring that parcel over to the city. This purple parcel is a unlandscaped dirt shoulder that basically lies in between this little trail connector that links up to the Aliso Creek Bikeway that we manage. The Aliso Creek Bikeway links up to Whiting Ranch Wilderness Park, Aliso and Wood Canyons Wilderness Park, O'Neill Regional Park, and Laguna Niguel Regional Park. So it is a heavily used public bikeway. The transfer of this property to the City of Lake Forest is not going to affect the access to that bikeway. It is still going to remain accessible to the public. They can get on and off this connector and onto the bikeway. We also wanted to make sure that the City of Lake Forest isn't pulling up any of the trees on this side of the property, and they confirmed that they're not going to be doing that. They're also retaining an 8-foot buffer along the newly constructed right turn lane and our trail connector, so that is a good space in terms of separating the traffic from our park users. So I apologize in advance. We actually have Christine Long here from CEO Real Estate who has helped us along in this transaction. And at this time, I kind of want to hand it off to her so that she can talk through the specifics in terms of the real estate transaction.
Sure. Okay. I'm
going to
have a drink.
Okay.
I'm in charge. Okay, so the way this came about is the City of Lake Forest sent us an offer letter on April 28th of 2021. And this is an offer letter, we see these all the time because we write them all the time. It's under the threat of eminent domain. So basically they're saying that, hey, we offer to buy your property so that we can use it to widen the road and create a right-hand turn, an extra right-hand turn lane. And if you don't, we're going to consider the use of eminent domain. Same letter that I write to everybody, right? So we know it's under the threat, we know they need it. When we were looking at it, I don't remember who it was, but somebody noticed that we still owned, I think it was our right-of-way guys, that piece in the center of the street. So that is not included in the valuation. What we're doing is we're telling them, you take this piece too, and we'll sell you that piece, because we don't want the liability for it.
We could plant trees there.
I think we'll have a snack shop there.
I'm pretty sure there's a street easement over it, even though we don't. But we could definitely get rid of it and save ourselves a headache. No, we haven't had any headaches, I know, so far, but still, you never know when that's going to happen. So that's what's going on there. They have the property appraised to come up with this $13,500 figure. I read the appraisal here because I thought you might have some questions, but I'll just go through it and tell you. They did it based on the market value, which is the way you do it in eminent domain. That's the way it's done. And he looked at, this appraiser looked at 5 different comps that were not necessarily right in the area, because you can't find open space land always right next to that has sold, right, that you can use for a comp. Mm-hmm. So the comps he found were between $8 a square foot and $11 a square foot, somewhere in there. So then he takes that number and he applies it back to our property. And our property is encumbered with a park dedication, can be used for anything. So you're going to discount that value even more. So he came up with a value of about $3 a square foot and applied that to the area. The area is 4,000 and almost 4,100 feet. Yeah, 4,087 square feet that they need. And so they came up with that number. So they made us the offer. The appraiser they hired is an MAI appraiser, and he is California licensed, and so it was a good appraisal. I gave it to the county appraiser who works in my division, and he reviewed it, and he said that the amount that they opined at was correct, and that that was a good amount. Okay, so this is eminent domain, and they have to adopt a resolution of necessity and take us to court. They haven't done it yet, so we're still in a negotiation phase. One of the problems we have about this property is we are going to have to do a park abandonment on this little section and the section in the center. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do that, and that takes two meetings of the board, 60 days apart, postings of the site, and that sort of thing. And then we are typically, I think we're going to go in April. I think April 12th we're going to go to the board, and then we would go again in June. So that's pretty much the details. Any questions you have?
Yeah, anybody have any?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I read 15,000.
Nope, 13,500. Have the offer letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apologies, Dave, if there's a typo somewhere, please alert us to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do I feel that I've seen this before?
This happens all the time. You may
no,
have seen
no,
it before.
No. This
particular location?
Yeah, like maybe six or eight years ago.
Yeah.
I heard through the grapevine, I have no way to verify this, that this has been going on for 5 years, but they finally got around to actually giving us an offer. That's what I heard.
It may be longer.
But I don't know.
It may be longer.
It may be.
I think it was pre-stationed.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
There's a long history with the city of Lake Forest annexation with a lot of glitches in the properties. Notably, San Diego Canyon Road near Cook's Corner. For a long time, the city didn't know that the stable there was actually in the city jurisdiction.
Oh.
Of course, I notified them, but that was 20 years ago, so I'm assuming they've got it under control now. Yeah, there's just a lot of squirrely things about this.
There seems to be a lot of these right now. We're having more of these property issues come to us of recent than in all the years.
Well, and if I can address that, I'm not sure that there's more property issues or conveyances that are going on. We're just committed to bringing them in front of the commission. So mm-hmm. You just maybe are seeing it accelerated because of the department's commitment to make sure that you see each one of them. So that's probably more a function of why it seems more prevalent.
Yeah, when I got on the commission, I believe you had somebody in the CEO's office who wasn't big on bringing stuff to the commission.
Well,
or
I think it was
like
more like there was a request of the commissioners that we include these items, and you know, so we just as a matter of course are bringing them. I know that with this particular issue, there isn't, in my mind, you know, a lot to disagree with in terms of there's a benefit, a public benefit. There's safety on both sides. We've examined it to make sure that it's safe for our trail users, and it is. So it's literally, and if we can, you know, to your credit, if we can get rid of a portion of street that we don't want and the deal, then we're all in favor of it.
Yeah. In a crosswalk.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
So we have actions as opposed to just a receive and file. Recommended actions are recommending. I can read this whole thing. The board.
I can do it.
Go ahead.
Yes. So your first recommended action is to recommend that the Board of Supervisors find that the park parcels at the intersection of Portola Parkway and El Toro Road are not used by the public for park purposes and are not appropriate, convenient, or necessary for park purposes, and approve the actions related to park abandonment of the park parcels. The second recommended action is to recommend that the Board of Supervisors authorize actions necessary for county staff to approve and execute all real estate instruments to transfer the park parcels to a qualifying public entity, i.e. the city, for reasonable consideration based on the market value for the property's intended use, subject to the satisfaction of park abandonment requirements related thereto.
I'll move the motion. Move the item.
Both combined?
Both combined.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Ashland and Wellborn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion passes. Thanks. Thanks, Christine. Good to see you. I'll say hi to my wife.
Thank you for inviting me.
By the way, that little square there in the middle, is that big enough for a pickleball court?
Ooh,
yeah. Yeah, it's big enough for 16 pickleball.
Yeah.
All right. This is a fun one. We have the Orange County Zoo large mammal exhibit presentation. Getting close to the finish line.
Yeah.
Do you want me to stand for this?
I do.
Do you want to stand? Well,
it's up to you.
Yeah, and so like there's a couple people that are here with us today, and they're going to take us through this. So Natalia Gerland, that you're familiar with, is our planning and design manager at OC Parks. Those of you who I think are familiar, that Donald Ziegler, I wasn't sure that he was coming tonight, so I was very happy to see him. He's the manager at the OC Zoo, so I encourage you to test his knowledge of the animals that have been put on display. I'm sorry, Donald. Keep it easy on him. But Natalia has been doing just fantastic work with her group, and Donald's staff has been above and beyond, and hopefully we can get Donald and pose upon him to tell us about the animals that will be going on exhibit there, and his staff should be exceptionally proud of the work that they've done, because they literally have saved the lives of a couple of the animals that are in their care, and it really makes me proud to be associated with it. So Natalia, take it away.
All right. Tom has introduced, we have the OC Zoo large mammal exhibit. This all starts going back to a general development plan that was created for the OC Zoo, approved by the Board of Supervisors in April of 2013. We had a number of items in there needed for improvements for the zoo, and some of that we've recently completed is the new restroom facility in December of 2019, which along with that is the interim entry plaza. We also completed drainage improvements within the zoo and outside the zoo in January 2021, which helped alleviate some of the water, stormwater would come towards the zoo, and we redirected to go around to prevent any flooding in the zoo. So now we bring you to today, where we're working on the large mammal exhibit. We started construction in January of 2021. This improvement is in an unused portion of the zoo, so we're not redoing a particular section and upgrading something, but we're actually going in an area of the zoo right over here that has not used before. So it's expanding the footprint of the zoo to the public. The new restroom that we built is right here, so if you're familiar with the facility right now, this is where you walk into the new restroom and you'll see this new exhibit immediately to your left. We did a design build project, and what this means is that we went out to offer a contract with the contractor, and the architect and engineer is under the contractor. So it's one big package that we had to kind of facilitate the construction project moving along further. Design for it began in October of 2019. And the main things that we have here, we created four different exhibits. And in the center, this is where the den for the cats are indoors, and the kitchen facility for feeding the cats and for staff. And then I'll go through more details of the exhibit. So we have exhibit A. We were getting influences from the local area, so we're looking at the landforms that we have already in California. So exhibit A, we went with Ortega Falls, that is in the Santa Ana Mountains off Ortega Highway. And then for exhibit B, we looked at Mount Wilson Observatory in the San Gabriel Mountains near Pasadena. Exhibit C, we went with Dart Falls in Death Valley. And for exhibit D, we went really close to home. So we looked at Willow Canyon and Laguna Coast and Rooster Rock in our Red Regional directly behind the zoo and looked at these rock formations. We also had models made of the exhibit so we can see a little better and how this would look in person. So just looking at drawings. But I will right now show you a walkthrough that was created, a 3D walkthrough of what the zoo would look like. So this is coming in immediately off of the restroom and turning to the left. The exhibit to the right is where Rooster Rock will go. And then exhibit turning towards the left right now is Ortega Falls. And then you'll see that we do have a waterfall feature that just like the image I showed you before. And then as you keep walking, we have one of the exciting features of this project, and it's the bridge, where the animals will be able to walk across from one exhibit to the other. So we have two bridges that the public can walk under. To the left, you'll see the indoor dens for the cats, and there will be viewing windows, so if the cats are in the dens and not outside, the public can still look at them. And then now you can look over to the left side. We have the Mount Wilson Wilson Observatory type of rock features. And we'll swing around here, and you'll see over towards the left side will be the Doran Falls. And a highlight in that feature, as you saw in the image, there was a waterfall into a pond area. So that exhibit will have a pond that the cats can actually swim in, and you have a feature where the public can get up close to it. You can see in the lower left corner. So again, to show you the features, the highlights that we have these bridges that the cats will go over, and here's the glass wall that we have where the public can get up close to it if the cats swim in the pool. So, then also we have in the back room, you can see from this elevation, more of what happens behind the scenes. It's covered from the public with faux rock, so you don't actually see the building, but we try to hide it so it feels a little more natural in the area. But we have the dens for the cats, the outdoor den, and the kitchen area. And here's another view where this is where the public can view in, and these windows here, and this is where the cats also have an indoor den and an outdoor den that they connect together. They can go in and out when they like. And then the service area and kitchen for the staff. So after we went through all this design, we started construction in January of 2021. Here's a quick look of how the construction has progressed. Start with demolition and clearing the land. And then you can see a lot of underground work takes place. And that's part of it doesn't look as exciting. You can come back to the site and not see much change, but we have a lot of utilities and things that have underground work. Then once we get that in, we start putting in the footings. For the structures, you'll see that the building will start coming up and that's when things start looking a little bit better. It looks like we actually have progress out there. So the buildings will come up and we have the post that will go in soon for the netting. And over here to the left side is where the waterfall will eventually be built. And then the faux rock work is coming in. So these are all done. Artists come in and paint them to look like natural rock. But it is all type of concrete that we have built out there. And the bridges come in. And this stops just before we get the concrete in. There we go. So some other feature that we call this the teaser feature. And it's just before you enter into the exhibit area, we can see some statues of the cats. Good photo opportunity for families coming in and to give you an idea of what you're going to see once you get inside. This is where the waterfall feature goes, so the view of that. And then we have the bridge that's coming in, and you see the faux woodwork too, in addition to the rocks. This is indoor in the den, and you can see that we didn't just create just a simple CMU block room for the cats to be in, but also created from the indoors to have different elevations to rest in and bring some of that rock work to the inside. And you can see these are the windows where the public can view through the inside. And this is the kitchen area for the staff to prepare the food. And then the two new kittens that Tom talked about that were rescued by CDFW and then brought to our camp with Supervisor Wagner, and the cats. And then we expect to have the opening in spring of 2022, and we welcome you to come to the ribbon cutting, and everyone in the public too. Any questions?
Excellent. I have a question. So is it all cats?
For this one, yes.
All cats for them?
Yeah.
So it's the large cat exhibit.
Yeah,
that's correct. And Donald, I don't know if you can go through the inventory of the animals that you have on site. They're all on site, ready to go on exhibit. We're getting very close to being able to open it. So I don't know if you want to just walk people through what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, sure. The zoo, you know, we've always had mountain lions. Mountain lions have been one of our signature animals that we've had at the zoo since we're Southwest United States animals. Those are animals that we find here, and we really plan to educate the public on animals that are in our parks and are in our area. So mountain lion is always a signature animal. We with the two younger ones that had come in, they were, if you follow the news a little bit on them, they were orphans. Mm-hmm. That ended up, there were four of them, two of them passed away. We got them in at four pounds apiece. They weren't doing real well with our veterinarian care, and we took care of them. They're doing great now. They're actually doing excellent. I can bring in the other mountain lion that we have. There was another baby mountain lion that was hit, and he was hit by a car up in Monterey. And that animal went through some care by our veterinarians, and he's healed up on some of his injuries that he's had. So we will have that. We'll be moving our mountain lion over, the one that we currently have. I wanted to say Porter. We have Porter, or his name is Santiago. But Santiago will be going probably in one of the
the largest because the younger cats right now will have to get used to a bigger enclosure and habitat. And then we also have the jaguar. We have a jaguar that came in. He's a melanistic jaguar. He came from another zoo in Phoenix. Jaguars were found in the Southwest. They are still being seen every once in a while in Arizona. And so that's another kind of signature animal that we can have. So with the large mammal, you know, we look at something that is regional. The large mammals that we have are bears, mountain lions, and jaguars. So that's kind of fitting with our book.
Yeah. Thank you, Donald. There's one thing I just want to add that Donald glossed over. So the four baby mountain lions that when they were trying their best, our colleagues up there in the National Park Service, that's who it was, National Parks, correct? They were trying to give it every chance to reunite with their mother. It didn't happen. I just want to point out that by the time that we received any animal, it was two animals. So that the two animals came into the care of our veterinarian alive, they managed to save their lives, and then they got handed over to Donald and his staff, who were involved from the beginning with nursing those animals back to health. Same thing with the other cat that had the broken leg is approximately 6 weeks older, something like that.
Yeah, he's probably not quite a month older.
Yeah, so 4 weeks older. So it's really great. We'll get to an item and where you might get a chance to see these things firsthand. I won't preview my encouragement in that direction, but it'll be something hopefully you guys can get a chance to see really, really quickly.
What happened to Majeska?
To who?
Majeska.
Majeska, we're not really sure. She ended up getting really sick very, very quickly. We did do a lot of tests and whatnot. The closest thing they're looking at right now with some of the tissue samples that were sent in was a feline leukemia.
Okay.
And so that's what we were looking at. And losing her just before this enclosure was really, really rough on us. That actually what spurred on us really looking for asking the Department of Fish and Wildlife if anything comes in. We would like to be on the list for animals that had come in, and so that's really what precipitated these younger ones that were offered to us.
Well, and Donald, if you could you tell Commissioner Ashland how old Santiago is? Because I found it pretty shocking myself. Yeah.
Well, the last, what we are at, you probably the last one that heard.
Yeah.
Eight?
No, it's older than that.
Yeah, it's 10 years old. So for Commissioner Ashland and myself, we're remembering them as kittens when they came to the zoo, and we try not to remember that it was 10 years ago that they were kittens. So,
it usually happens where I'll tell someone that was eight, and then 3 years later, I'm still saying eight.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tom comes by and corrects me all the time. Yeah. He probably knows more about the information than I do sometimes. Yeah.
And then one more question.
Sure.
What's the situation with our bears?
We have two bears.
We have two bears.
Yeah, we still have the older female that Nacho and Yo-Yo.
Yes.
Yo-Yo was the younger one. She's still alive. She is 20, I think she's 23 now. We have the younger bear, but I think she's 8 now. But she was also hit by a car, and she has some kind of atypical behavior from time to time. But she is doing quite well. She's kind of that dark phase, and she came home from the Humboldt area, but she's a dark phase of black bear. And then we have the yo-yo.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you.
All right, anybody else got any other questions?
I would like to say, Natalia, that was a great presentation. That's the first time I got to see the time-lapse. So that was really awesome just to be able to see. Yep. And we're really excited about this project. I know it kind of is a signature exhibit for us. It's really going to help us in the view of the zoo and how we're perceived. But coming in, it's a great addition with the new restroom. We were really excited about the restroom. I always get excited about certain things, but getting the restroom and getting the new entrance is great. I know maybe there's going to be some plans to come out and do a visit out there. I'd love to show you around, and if you haven't been out there, it's really the comments we're getting from the public, and that loop is actually makes a loop. I know before we would go down and have a dead end and have to come back. This creates a loop, so people, yeah. It creates a lot of nice flow. It almost doubles the size of the zoo for the public. In those exhibits, because there's four habitats, and it's great that we depicted different habitats, the four habitats, when you walk through, you go through the middle, so you probably have one, two, three, four, but when you walk around the other side, you get to see the other two other sides, but it almost looks like six new enclosures and habitats. So we're really excited about this project.
All right, I look forward to the grand opening.
Yes.
Hint.
Jeff Hurst.
What's the question?
The statues of the animals. Oh, he was asking about the statues of the animals. What about them?
Are they going to be there, or are they going away?
No, they are there. The intent of the statues and what Natalia was referring to was that this is like a teaser feature. So it's right at the entrance of the, you come into the zoo, and it's on the left, right at the front of the enclosure. It's going to have an OC Zoo logo on it, and it's basically a picture spot so that families can gather together and get their picture with the statues of the mountain lions, and then have the zoo logo in the picture as well.
And kids will crawl.
Yeah. Correct. And then
the cats aren't patient enough to stand there with.
Correct. And Donald and his staff will be like constantly shooing people off of the cat when they're trying to sit on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Thanks. Great presentation. And we'll receive and file this. So,
thank you very much.
Our next item is this April field trip, and I don't know after that we could go to Mile Square Park. We should go straight to the zoo, right? Everybody, do we agree on that?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be out of town, so sorry.
You could have supported me anyway.
Just kidding. You should go to the zoo.
if I can, Commissioner, I think that we can, do the best of both worlds. I had talked with Natalia before about what's going on with the construction of Mile Square Park. I believe at this point that we wouldn't get the biggest bang for the buck to go there and look at that. In any case, there isn't a whole lot going on with the construction. If we had a field trip later in the year, that might be a more appropriate time to go to that venue. This venue, and I don't want to, for the zoo, I don't want to preview that, but I think it's aligning perfectly to be post-construction prior to the opening, right? So
it would be the first.
So it would be the first folks to be able to go through there. We can impose on Donald. You said you'd be happy to show people around. Am I call you on that? And I think there would be an opportunity to maybe get a preview of the exhibit before it's open to the public. So, yeah.
I suggest we go to the zoo.
Cool. Yeah. But let it be so.
Okay. The question would be which of the 2 days would be the
preference. Well, it sounds like you guys prefer Saturday.
Yeah. The reason that Saturday is the preference, and I would rely on you, Natalia, for your judgment on this, and Donald for your staffing, I think Saturday initially was the preference so that we wouldn't be there during any construction. I think it's probably still a safer bet to go with that day. But, Donald, I don't know what your staffing levels are like and what's a more appropriate day to go to.
We make it.
Okay. So it's at your pleasure, and I think we'll be post-construction, but
I can do either.
Possible.
I can do either.
Yeah, actually.
Let's do it Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. Saturday it is, yeah.
Perfect.
Go for it.
Okay. And just to clarify.
Should we vote?
Yeah.
If you want to vote, okay.
Yeah, if we can do a vote on this.
All right. I make a motion that we go to the zoo on Saturday, April 9th. Do I have
I'll
a second?
Sure.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
I'll vote.
Okay, you're just going to have to delay your vacation, sir. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Santa Cruz Island. Yeah.
And commissioners, just so you're aware, there is also going to be a grand opening to the public for this facility. So if you're not able to quite meet the field trip, you're perfectly welcome to come.
Yeah. Don't give us an out. Yeah. No one will show up. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I would just honestly encourage, it would be a great time to be there. Not only will the cats potentially be introduced into the new exhibit, so that'd be fascinating to watch the keepers in action there. The other thing that we can do is we can make sure that you all get an opportunity to meet the animals like sort of up close. We can additionally like swing through the rest of the zoo and see the bears and things like that as well, but we certainly can see these animals.
I'll bring my own muzzle.
Yeah.
We bring our family or so.
Well, I don't know what
it is a public field trip,
yeah.
And they are welcome.
The only thing, I think that would be an option that you could do. I would limit the number of folks that you would bring just for the availability of the behind-the-scenes areas. So if you want to bring one or two folks, I think that would be fine.
Okay. Okie doke. So moving on. Thank you for keeping me in line there.
Pardon me. Pardon.
Yes, sir.
I remember.
All right.
I remember when Santiago and the Jester were first in the zoo. And they were maybe 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And Don would take us back there knowing that it was feeding time. And the cats would come out of their back room and run as fast as they can up to and throw themselves on the fence.
Yeah.
It was like, and I'm right here. It was like, wow.
They're probably going to think, why haven't you been back to visit us? All right, cool. All right, moving on. We already did the pickleball updates. What you got in a general sense?
I have a couple things that I think are so very important. I'm trying to think if we want to go good news or bad news first.
Uh-oh.
So I think let's take the bad news. Commissioner McCusker notified me this week, and he notified Supervisor Bartlett that he was resigning from the Parks Commission. As you know, he's had a thought process where he was not able to come to as many meetings as he'd care to. He notified me and said, hey, you know, there was an opportunity he might not be able to come to a few more. So he just decided to step back. I think I had a very pleasant conversation with him regarding this, and I can't tell you how much I respect him and how much I wish him well. One of the things that I did want to note is, so Commissioner McCusker, I had mistakenly thought that he had been on the Parks Commission the entire time I was at the Parks Department. It turns out that he was only here for 12 of the 13 years I was at the Parks Department. So, you know, in my mind, that's quite a run, you know, on the Parks Commission. I was looking at a couple of things that he had been here. When he started with the Parks Commission, the Parks Department was 20,000 acres smaller than it is today. Mm-hmm. So that carried over throughout. And then in conjunction with what we talked about today, he was on the commission when they approved the zoo general development plan that we're still going through today. So just a couple things, and I know what we'll do is we'll try to figure out a way that we can honor Juskin in an appropriate way, but since it was so short notice for this particular meeting, we just wanted to let you know that that was happening. And apologies, Chair, I apologize for just giving me a call right away. I was under the impression that he had spoken with you already.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be a nice gesture to invite him to this field trip since he was...
I will certainly do that. And I had, when I spoke with him, it was kind of catching me off guard. And he had committed and I had committed to trying to find an appropriate time where he would be available for us to honor. So I'll make that work for all of us. Evidently not on Thursday nights is the one thing. The other thing, which is incredible news, is so as you know, OC Parks has been doing some change in leadership, myself being the example. We also have been doing recruitments for our higher level positions. And I am very pleased to announce that it is our very own Joanne Veeder that has accepted the position of deputy director at OC Parks.
Wow.
We are thrilled. We had a very competitive national recruitment. And Joanne was like by far the top candidate, and we were thrilled by that. I had a chance to go through, and by the way, it's also very wonderful for you gentlemen because you know Joanne, so it's you already know firsthand how good she is. I was surprised to hear that, and we just found out that this week, Joanne and I almost have the same amount of time with the county. I'm not sure why I look so old and frazzled in comparison, but we both have like about 2 decades of experience with the county. I think you figured out that you were 21. More than 21. I am at 22 years. Mm-hmm. This is the difference of the next year that is going to happen to Joanne. So we'll try to. Yeah.
Gray hairs are coming.
Yeah, exactly.
We can sit here on this side of the table and tell you that's never going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. In any case, Joanne, I just want to point out that she has been in the role of of interim deputy director since September of last year. She has, you know, worked at a number of agencies before. Right here I wouldn't do justice to her resume, but I know that she worked at both the human resources, social services, healthcare, in community resources, and at OC Parks over, as we said, the 21 years. I have that wrong. Let me just correct that. Also, before becoming the interim deputy director, she was the business manager at OC Parks, and then you know that she's been working on the commission matters and goes back to that. And I like to say that she was Stacy's like right-hand person at Parks, so we're just thrilled. And you're on your first week still on the job, and she still hasn't quit. So if she makes it to tomorrow, we will be 1 week in. And so, Joanne, just congratulations, and we're just thrilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have one other thing. I left a pin out for all of you. So if you saw that, that's the we just received those off the press. You were the first individuals to receive that in the Parks Department.
You told the supervisors that too, right?
No, I haven't. No, supervisors don't have them. You know, I have one somewhere.
I'm gonna wear it into Don's office.
Yeah. Well, so tell them they're coming if you see the supervisors. But this is signifying the 125th anniversary of Irvine Regional Park. Mm-hmm. It is the oldest county park in California. It predates the National Park Service. We're going to celebrate the anniversary coming up in October, which is the anniversary of the gift of the park to the county. And so we'll certainly have a big event out there and invite all of you to participate. But we're really looking forward to it, and we're going to have sort of a year's worth of activities celebrating that in a program. So I wanted you to be the first to have that.
Thank you.
And then I had, this was mostly for Commissioner Mueller, the Dana Point Festival of Wales isn't on your packet of events coming up, but the Festival of Wales is this weekend. I, at this point, was going to turn it over to him that he's not here. I was going to say, Joe, do you want to tell people about it? I do know that our involvement from parks, we do end up having some activities over at Baby Beach, which is the portion that parks oversees. We do provide some permitting, and we assist with the parking and the activities down there. We always have. It's a great event. It's a good partnership for us. So if you're at all interested, if you want to go down there and check that out, you can add it to your list of the things that you have in your packet.
Cool.
And I think that's all, unless I need to do more, Joanne. Okay. Would you like to direct me to do anything else? While you
not
can?
Okay.
All right. That's all I have for you.
I think.
Oh, there is one other thing. I believe we have some guests in the audience. If you are in school and here because your teacher's making you, could you raise your hand? Is that the people in the back? So thank you very much for attending.
We only have three more hours to go.
Yeah.
You can't get signed off until...
I was told that they are allowed to leave officially at the one-hour mark. So,
well,
conveniently, we're closing the meeting roughly on time.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
A real quick anecdote. Yeah. I think that, in Irvine Regional Park, there's a war memorial to the Spanish-American War.
Correct, yeah.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tom. Well, I'm not going to go over all the upcoming park events out loud. They're in the agenda. A lot of neat stuff coming up. And so I will move straight to, so we can get these kids out of here on time, so they don't have to walk out in the middle of the meeting. Commission comments and report. So I guess we'll go down the horn here, Vice Chair Schauder. You got anything to announce?
Yes, I guess some really good news.
Cool.
OCTA, we've been working with them on our Rails to Trails program, and they just waived our $35,000 annual fee for that area so we can begin developing it. We're in the process of getting the funding for it. And so I was going to bring back on the agenda for our next meeting the feasibility of getting some help from OC Parks to continue the expansion.
Okay, we can talk about that maybe at our vice chair meeting with you or something.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're suggesting? We'll set the agenda, but yeah, we'll go that this route first and then.
It'll be kind of a proposal.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else?
No, I just...
Just for the audience, it's the city of Stanton, by the way.
Is he a zoologist?
Donald?
Yeah.
So Donald's background is in biology, and he has a unique path to being the zoo manager. He was actually a park ranger and was assigned over to the zoo and has been working there for... I don't want to do injustice to it. I believe it's 20 years that he's been working over and running the zoo. But his background, he came to us as one of the park rangers.
I went to UOP with Terry Maple, who is the director of the National Zoo. And he's always has good hookups on getting animals. Mm. So I don't know if we need any more, but if somebody would want to reach out to me, I'll see what I can do to help.
Okay, I'll certainly let him know.
Okay.
And then if you're attending the field trip, that's certainly a time to bring it up and discuss.
Okay.
I'm sure that both Donald has two curators at the zoo that he works with, and both of them should be in attendance at the tour as well.
Don is extraordinarily available.
Yeah, he's very, he's very, as you can tell, very passionate about the zoo and a great advocate.
All right. Commissioner Ashford.
Everybody at Parks that was involved with the Tet Festival did a fabulous job. I mean, I went and I spent two nights there, and you guys did a bang-up job.
Well, I'll make sure I let the staff know. It's a combination of our field staff that work out there, which is almost an all-hands-on-deck event. I believe the numbers that I heard were 50,000 people in attendance over 3 days. Definitely, well-attended, and everybody had a great time, no incidents, and our communication staff also pitches in and works on the event. And so Pam's the one that's the leader of that shop, so all the kudos go to her and her folks working on it.
Cool. There was some live entertainment that was really, really good.
Absolutely. I know the band you're talking about.
Two quick items. Just looking forward to hearing the Utah State report on the trails study. I'm really excited. Really want to keep pushing for, you know, courtesy and safety on our trails, and want to see where we can go with that. And the second item, as an ancillary part of our role as the County Fish and Game Commission, I would love to hear about plans for, you know, the lake fishing going on in our parks coming up this summer. Haven't really ever dug into that before, at least I haven't.
Yeah. So
love to hear an update and see what's going on.
No, and I think
I'll work with you on that.
All right, let's go fishing, Bert.
And Chair, if you'd like, we can discuss that at our meeting as well.
Sure.
And then see if we can, I certainly can bring it in the director's report,
mm-hmm.
and we have staff members that work on that. I think if it's of interest to the commission, we can let you know the stocking and what we do and how we keep the lakes up.
Yeah.
Typically, the question we get is always Irvine Lake, which has some challenges. Other lakes we're very proud of. We are one of the, you know, principal sources of fishing and beginner fishing here in the county, so happy to discuss that.
Cool. And he's not here, but I just want to thank publicly. You can pass along Twan Richardson.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He came to my Rotary Club this morning and presented on the Craig Park mountain bike thing, which was of great interest.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about that. Hope you get that grant.
Well, you're talking to Twan's boss right here over in Chicago. So that was well timed, sir.
I hope that grant was written well. It looks like you guys are looking for a state grant that will accelerate the process.
Yeah.
So that's all I got. And with that, I'm going to adjourn.
Thank you.